Heavenly Father, we are so grateful one more time for this opportunity to stand behind the sacred decks. We appreciate you for the showers of blessings upon our lives in the morning. No one can ever be used to your presence because you come in an unusual way. Father, we pray may you bless this evening service. May you crown up, Lord, the service of today, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Now welcome back in Jesus' name. Let's turn in the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 14. Oh, thank you. Isaiah chapter 14. Just take one verse. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. God bless you. We thank the Lord for His grace and the opportunity to be gathered again this evening. I will not take so much time. I realize we have limited time for the evening service, just 1 hour. So I just do my best to collapse and maybe squeeze everything, whichever way. The Holy Spirit will interpret the rest as we go on, and I believe other ministers will do a better justice to it. Hallelujah. But we just take 2 quotes. Then read some few scriptures. Then go and rest our heads. Amen and amen. I want to once again appreciate the household of Bosam, the wife and the children, for the food and everything, drinks they've been giving to us since we've been around. The Lord bless you. I want to also appreciate our mommy, the pastor's wife. God bless you, ma. Appreciate you. Amen. So we, like I said, we have some scriptures we are going to read. But I will just take 2 quotes to summarize what we are trying to talk about. That is the lesson between Balaam and Constantine. I will take 2 quotes to wrap that up. Then we'll take some scriptures. I believe the Holy Spirit will help us to expand the rest. I want to read from Church Age book. Quite some number of paragraphs in this quote. The Pergamia Church Age, 60:12-07, the Pergamum Church Age. I'll read from paragraph 134. Did you notice in the Catholic Church today, you can't read that Bible? That's not for you to interpret. That's the bishop. See where it come from? Now you can see what the Nicolaitans really was before it began to squeak and crow or crow. It was born right there. That's true. And it was a form of Christianity, and it still is. And then the Protestant types right after it. The Bible in Revelation 17 said, the mother and the daughters, we will get to it after a while. The Lord willing. Now you notice it is the same today. They took over. Now, Constantine used Balaam's strategy. Amen and amen. The strategy Constantine used was the same thing that Balaam used. Alright, now I want you to try to listen as close as you can. Now it said here in the Bible here, hold fast, you see, my faith. I have a few things against Thee because thou hast dead them, not this here, but dead. They have them. You have them in the Pergamos church holding the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, Constantine used the same strategy that Balaam did. They had a meeting after the council meeting here that the bishop was put over the churches and so forth to rule it and take all the power from the laity, and they had no thinking of themselves. Neither did they have any right to interpret the scripture, and that it was all to the priest was to do the interpretation of the scripture. Finally, after a while, they make a master priest, you see, a vicar, which was the pope. But now they have become to the spot where they will put it, all the understanding belongs to the priest. And the congregation don't have to read the Bible. They don't have to do nothing. And frankly, the Bible is kept from them. And now they've taken it all over upon themselves, and it was voted in to us because it looked good. It looked good because they was rich and so forth. At this great meeting, when it caught together, Constantine gave the bishop nice building. Now, when we say Constantine, who is this Constantine? Many years ago, you see, in the Nicene Council, he was the one that called all these bishops together. Why? Because he wanted to have a kingdom of his own. He also wanted to build a name like Nimrod did in the Old Testament. The Bible said Nimrod wanted to propagate his own religion, to have his own name, to be worshipped, to be honored, to be adored, which is exactly the same thing Lucifer did, you see, in heaven. And we are trailing the spirit down to earth. The same inspiration of Lucifer was what Nimrod carried. But God had to come down to confuse their language. And not only that, the same spirit Balaam carried. And coming to this other side, Nicene Council, the same thing Constantine carried. And what did he do? He gave the bishop nice building. He got a hold of some money, which is exactly the same thing Balak did, to what? Bribe Balaam to come curse the children of Israel. You see, he got some money and all these big places, like buildings, he gave this over to the church, that they could use them as church houses. He started building houses for church and all that. But the very intention was to be able to control the pulpit. Alright. Oh, they were nice building, all dressed up and so forth. So he gave them over to the church. Beside that, he dressed up this bishop. Couldn't get that? He dressed up this bishop with great big robes. Not only did they build houses and all these things, he dressed them with great big robes and the underskirts and things under them. And beside that, he put them up, build a high place like this, and put them up on like an idol. And down below them, he made marble altars under them. And he did all this converting from the pagan idea over and bringing Christianity into it by taking their bishop. So everything was idolatry. The only thing that looked like Christianity was to bring the bishop of Catholic Church and put them there, pay them money, give them big robes and many things, build houses, you see, for them and all that. Put up the bishop, you see that. And he had all the say-so. He had all the say-so. So the bishop became like an hireling servant, hireling shepherd. What was this? Is to have people that are great bishop around him to be able to fortify his kingdom. Just like Balak did. And that is why Brother Abraham is telling us that the feast of Bapur, what happened there, approximates the same thing that happened at Nicene Council. We are going to let us finish this off. You see? Putting him like their pagan gods. You see, they put him on robes like Jesus wore, and they made him just look like an idol sitting there. Oh, you can imagine how the pagan said, well, I can go for that. Then somebody can speak back to us. We've been talking to an idol, but this man can speak back to us.
how the Christian thought were. That's just fine. Now we can do anything we want to, because there is our God. Amen. Now just to cut off some things, I'll read again. Seven church age. This is the resume of the ages. Before we take some scriptures. Amen. Now, we are still on this subject of covetousness, which is idolatry. Proverbs said, this second step was the doctrine of Balaam, described in Revelation 2:14. If you are looking for a keyword, you can use this keyword. Wherein Balaam taught Balak. The Balak, you can spell it with a C at the end. Wherein Balaam taught Balak to stumble the children of Israel by a united meeting. By a united meeting. There's always an intention to these things. There the guests would do two more things contrary to the word of God. What was the two more things that they did that was contrary to the word of God in this meeting? It's not wrong to have a meeting. Oh, let's talk things over. You see, invited them to that feast, let's talk things over. But two things they did that was contrary to God's word. Rabbi said, you will recall that Balak needed help to keep his kingdom. So he needed help to keep his kingdom. He called on the most dominant spiritual figure of his day, Balak. So, to be able to secure his kingdom, he called on the most dominant spiritual figure. Somebody that is strong enough. Somebody of high reputation. Somebody that when he causes anything, it remains cursed. To keep his kingdom, he needed a bishop. He needed a figure. To keep his kingdom in the wrong manner. Nothing wrong to have a good figure around you. But for the purpose of truth, not for evil. Amen and amen. Most dominant spiritual figure of his day, Balaam. Balaam gave the advice. Follow me now. Balaam gave the advice that trapped and destroyed Israel. It was first of all to suggest that they all get together and talk things over. So it looks so innocent. It looks so inoffensive. We just want to talk things over. Let's sit down and talk things over. Why at least let's talk things over. You see that? Very wonderful. Talk things over and eat together. After all, there's nothing wrong in eating. Get together, eat things, and eat together, and all that, and get things ironed out. After all, understanding each other goes a long way. Are you ready with me, church? Yeah, you see, after all, understanding each other goes a long way. You see that subtlety of Satan. Once you accomplish that, you can go from there. The next step would be worshiping together. Now that we've been able to talk things over, iron things over, eat together, and do things together, then you worship together. And of course, a little pressure from the host usually makes the guests go a lot further than they intended. A little what? Pressure from the host. You came to visit somebody. You know, that's exactly what happened between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. It was a wonderful hospitality. Jehoshaphat ate. He entertained him. Ahab was his host. Fed him. Told him, you know, we are one. We have to talk this over. We are one. Let's not, you see, you are in Judah, I'm in Israel, so we are one. And after Jehoshaphat has eaten, and he was eating, he didn't know there's something this man is, you know, there's an intention. Hallelujah. And after eating, that's what the Bible said, gift blind the man's eyes. And he said, what do you think about Ramoth Gilead? This was the very reason why he invited him. So, and that's what Brother Abraham is saying here, that a little pressure from the host make the guests go a lot further than they intended. After this level of hospitality, after giving you a car, dress you in royal apparel, you know, probably send your children to the university, and say, come with me. I have something I want to do. I want you to join me to, you see, achieve it. When you think of all the good things, hallelujah. This man, I give me this thing or that. I say, well, we are together. We are with you. We are with you. You see, it was not your intention, but hospitality. It will make you go further than you intend to go. Now, that didn't only happen back there to God's church of the Old Testament, but it happened to the church of the New Testament. For there was an emperor who, like Balak, needed help to secure his kingdom. Who is that? Constantine. So Constantine invited the nominal Christians, First Christian Church of Rome, to help him get the Christians behind him. And as they were a very large body, the outcome was the Nicene Council of what? 325. There the Christians, both true and nominal, came together. Remember, true Christians were there too. But follow something. The true Christians were there, invited them together. Came together. The true Christians had no business even going up to the meeting. They had no business. In spite of all Constantine could do to unite them all, the real believers knew they were out of place and what? Left. Despite hospitality, despite money, despite the good things, when it came to the time of test, they knew we are in the wrong place. The Bible said they what? They left the true vine. But to those who remained, Constantine gave of the state's what? Treasury. Oh man. Along with political and physical force. The people were introduced to what? Idol worship and spiritism. For statues with names of saints were placed in the building. And the people were taught to commune with the dead. Is that not what we have today? Hey, Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you now. Bow down to statues and images. This was where it started from. 325 AD at Nicene Council. They pray to what? Commune with the dead or pray to saints, which is nothing more nor less than what spirit is. For the food that man truly needs, even the word of God, they were giving creeds and dogmas and rituals, which were also enforced by the state. And above all, they were giving three gods: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three gods with the triple compound name of the one true God. And water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ gave way to the pagan baptism of three word titles. So what was this? Is a way and a means to secure his kingdom. So Constantine, the same thing with what happened in Numbers chapter 23. And was he able to do that? Yes! And that is why there is no denomination today that worship God. As rough as it may sound, this was where it originated from. They are nothing but idol worshippers. They pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and when they want to join you in marriage, they join you in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It means you are living in adultery. Because idolatry and adultery is the same spirit, and fornication. Robert said the same spirit that is responsible for physical fornication is the same thing that is responsible for spiritual fornication and idolatry. The same spirit. And when we say spirit, we mean a being. Hallelujah. So what was it? He wanted to be what? Brahma said he wanted to secure his kingdom. So he brought dignitaries around him, just like Balak brought Balaam, a spiritual figure, to be able to secure his kingdom, covetousness. And what did he do? He started buying the bishop things to be able to control them. And that's why the Bible called them hireling shepherds. They are hired, you preach and they pay you money. The re or talking ado, the re say so is sitting over there. He just puts the man up there to secure his kingdom. Hallelujah. And that very covetous practice led to the spiritual idolatry that we are facing in organization today. That's why Brother Branham preached the message, why I am against organized religion. He said it's nothing but the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. That is why we are not like them. That is why when we tell you don't marry unbelievers, we know exactly what we are telling you. Because they don't believe the same God that you believe. It is an idol worship out there.
He said, I have a born again or a spirit feeds denominational brother.
For where? Spirit feed denomination. Because he can bond, because he can pray. He can pray.
Robert said, give them the word test.
What is the test? By the word, they will prove the seed that they are carrying. Covetousness, a terrible spirit. It can make you take what does not belong to you. And even when you have, it's not enough for you. You want to grab more. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 1.
I'm checking your time and I'm just cutting it little by little.
But I have some other scriptures to read. 1 Kings chapter 1. Quite a long passage. But I will... Can you flash it for us, please?
Okay, now King David was old. Just enjoy this passage with me. If we after, we'll talk about Ahithophel. If we don't after, we'll cut it out.
Now King David was old and stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat.
Hallelujah.
He got no heat. Wherefore his servants, the Bible said unto him, let there be sought for my lord, the king, a young virgin. And let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get what heat. Verse 3. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishai, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. Note this woman, Abishai. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Verse 5.
We say, knew and not, had nothing to do with her, had no affair with her.
Then Adonijah, the son of Agit, exalted himself. Adonijah is the son of David. Saying, I will be king.
Are we there?
There are some people, they feel too entitled to a position. Brother Abraham said, God orders his man to his place. Let God be the one ordering you to a place. Don't try to grab it by force. Like people that will say, you grab power, you run with it. But God's children want God to be the one doing it for them. When it is God doing it for you, you will fight less.
Amen.
And he said, I will be king. Anyhow. And he prepared in chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him at Adonijah. And his father had not displeased him at any time, he's saying, why has that done so? And he also was a very goodly man. He was not a bad person. But a spirit took over him. Because you cast a shadow. He was not a bad person. He was a good man. But he subjected himself to an inspiration of Satan. The Bible says he was a good man. And his mother bare him after who? Absalom. His mother, so he's a younger brother to Absalom that overthrew his father. You can see the family lineage. And we're going to come, we are coming to Absalom later on. So he was a good man. And he conferred, arranged, made arrangements with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Who is Joab? Joab is the son of David's auntie or something like that, of Zeruiah. So Joab and David are related. I think one is uncle to the other one. But Joab is actually older than David. And with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah, helped him. Who is Abiathar? Abiathar is a priest of the lineage of Eli.
Are we together?
So even though God cursed Eli many years in the days of Samuel, because of the sin of his household, he said, the priestly lineage will cease. But didn't see this immediately. This was the last person in that lineage. Abiathar. Are we there, church? Alright. We are studying the Bible. But Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Re and the mighty men which belong to David were not with Adonijah. So Adonijah split the camp, took Joab, which is the captain of the host of the army, and took a priest. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohelet, which is by Erujah, and called all his brethren the king's son and all the men of Judah the king's servant. Okay. But Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. When people want to go into conspiracy, they will not test on people. When you tell them, what about this person? Say, no. Because another person will disagree. If you are sure of what you are talking about, bring it to the table. Bring it to the table. Let's examine it by the word. Wherefore, Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Agi, doth reign? And David, our Lord, knoweth it not. Remember, David is sick, and they brought to him a beautiful wife. Alright, now therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life. Why? Because Bathsheba is the mother of Solomon. If Adonijah ascend that throne, he's going to kill the mother and kill Solomon. So to be able to save your own life, come, let me give you counsel. That thou mayest save thy own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Verse 13. Go and get thee unto King David and say unto him, Did not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy army, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thy throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, why thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. Very fast. And Bathsheba went in unto the king in the chamber, and the king was very old. And Abishai the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? Amen. And she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thy throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance. And I called all the sons of the king. And I be after the priest and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon, thy servant, had he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord, the king after him. Amen. Otherwise, it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his father, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. So it must be made clear. And look, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was coming before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Oh my. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, as thou said that Adonijah shall reign after me, and he said, okay, just go to the next one because of our time. Okay. Let's take 30. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. You know the conversation. And Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. We are taking, just go down. Okay? And, no, 32. And King David said, come is Hanan the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Joab, and they came before the king, and he instructed them to go and sacrifice and crown Solomon. So let's go down a little bit. We are going somewhere. Hallelujah. Hold on. Keep going. Hold on. Okay. 41. After, you know, Nathan and the rest took Solomon, the Bible said even David gave him his royal apparel and the horse and everything to ride. And he was riding everywhere. So Adonijah was reigning, so to say, on this other side. Then he heard a rumor that Solomon has been what, anointed king on this other side. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And you see, they went to eat, they went to feast, they went to blow trumpet. But while they were eating, that was when they heard it. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And why, yes, may behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came." And Adonijah said unto him, "Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings." And Jonathan answered and said unto Adonijah, "Verily, our king David had made Solomon king." It has been confirmed, isn't it? All right. And the king has sent him with Zadok, the priest, Nathan, the prophet. But now go to the next. Hold on. Okay. And all the guests that were with Adonijah, we are afraid, and rose up and went every man his way. Meeting close. Oh, this time is pressing me so hard. Oh, may God have mercy. Oh, my. So they knew that, for King David to have done this, it means he had confirmed this, he had confirmed Solomon. But we are going somewhere. Now let's go down a little bit. Is that the last chapter or last verse? So King Solomon sent and they brought, no. 51. And it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he had caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword." Now, did Solomon tell him that he's going to kill him? The problem here is that your intentions, you think that is others' intention. When you mean evil for people, you think people mean evil for you too. So when he heard that Solomon has become king, then he went to hold to the horns of the altar. I said, "Let him promise me that he's not going to kill me." And he was, you know, ranting there. And Solomon said, "If he will show himself a worthy man, if he will mind his business, if he will stay in his lane, after conspiracy, I will not touch him. But he should mind his business. He should show himself a worthy man. There shall not an heir of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die." Is that right? And they took him from the arms of the altar. Now, chapter 2 from verse 12. Chapter 2 from verse 12. Hallelujah. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Verse 13. And Adonijah, this same man again. Are you there? The son of Haggith came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, "Commence thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." He said, "Moreover, I have some word to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine." Ah. This is somebody that was afraid for his life, that went to hold to the horns of the altar. Atmosphere is as cooled down. Everybody is calling everybody brother. But you see, spirit don't die. Amen. They are waiting for another time to manifest. Your life was spared, yet you have not learned. That noise that the kingdom was mine. Who said so? When you see people that feel too entitled to something, God orders his man to his place. And that all Israel set their faces on me. How? that I should reign. Albeit the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. So you know. So you know. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on, this is what we call covetousness. Covetousness. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag, the Shunammite, to wife. See, when somebody is sending you on an errand, be careful of the kind of message you attend to. Hallelujah. Sisters, be careful. Go and tell your son. Your son will not, he can't deny you. Your son loves you so much. He can't tell you no. What is it? Just tell him to give me Abishag. The fair damsel that David had not known at all. That's just the only thing I need. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Oh, you know, that's a little thing. You see, you must have come to the song. We're going to read and say, oh, you see, God, by the grace of God, God has given you the throne. You see, this little woman, you cannot just give out. Just give him. Let him not look as if he didn't have anything. Just give him something. You are talking foolishly. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition. A small thing of this, very small. What do you think is very small? Maybe the throne itself. It's very small, very small. Ah, the king said that. And the king said unto her, ask on my mother, for I will not say thee nay. See that? And she said, let Abishag, the Shunammite. She didn't say. Adonijah said, I should tell you to give. You know, she came, said it directly as if it's coming from her. But you see, David told Solomon, he said, you are a wise man. You have the spirit of discernment. You know. Amen. Let you see, Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why does thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also. Just tell him to take the kingdom. No need to just say the wife alone. Just everything. For he is my elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest. You see, he has included his conspirators. Abiathar is in his house. Joab is in his house. If you like, call it grudge. He knew these are the people that almost have turned the kingdom. So they are all included as conspirators. He said, so don't ask for him alone. You should also ask for Abiathar and also ask for Joab. The next verse. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. This was how Adonijah was killed, Joab was killed, Abiathar was killed. For a message that you cannot reject, you don't have discernment to reject. It's not all message you go for. Some message, say, please, sorry, this one fast, my power. It's bigger than me. Go and tell him yourself. But you want to claim the king's mother. Mother in Israel. Hallelujah! Covetousness. until he wanted the very wife of the king. Oh, we still have a little time. Amen and amen. Let's read some other scriptures. Please don't mind me. I may take 5 or 10 minutes if you don't mind, please. So sorry. Amen and amen. I want to read another issue of conspiracy that happened in the scripture. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Samuel. I'll just cut it and cut it and cut it. About Ahithophel. 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'll just cut some out. 11 to 14. 2 Samuel chapter 15, 11 to 14. The Bible said, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. This was during when they overthrew David. Now, the Bible says, Absalom called for David's counselor. Who is that? Ahithophel. Watch that word. You know, we always pray, let the counsel of Ahithophel be what? So, what led to that prayer? The Bible says, when Ahithophel counseled, it's as if a God has spoken. It's as if somebody has gone to consult from the oracle of God. Somebody that is the oracle of God became oracle of Satan. Because he joined himself with the wrong group. See, David did not say God should remove the gift from Ahithophel. He said make it useless. In such a way that if he speaks, it makes no meaning. Now we have seen so many mighty men falling. Great men falling. Because of conspiracy, when they talk, their talk don't have effect anymore. Because they join with the wrong camp to conspire. This Ahithophel, and you are going to see why Ahithophel took side. Oh, I would like to really finish this before we close, 15, 20 minutes. You are going to see why Ahithophel took side with Absalom. It was a family grudge. I'll prove it. It was a family grudge. Which family grudge? Let's go on a little bit. I know we know these things, but just to you know, remind us of what we know already. And the conspiracy was strong. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that we are with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. I don't want to go into how this thing started. I started winning the hearts of the people, Absalom. Just to hit something and hit something and let us go. To see what covetousness we do and what conspiracy we resort to. And what grudge of many years that was not forgiven we resort to. 31, verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Ah! Ahithophel was a great man. The thing was so painful to David. Ahithophel, my right hand man. Another Lucifer. And David said, oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into what? Foolishness. Oh my, you must hold that script, that part very well. Turn it to foolishness. He didn't say remove the gift because gift and callings are without repentance. But he said, don't let that gift have effect anymore. Because David knows, he knows Ahithophel. Ahithophel must cancel. And his cancel must hit the dot. See, your gift is shining because God is putting inspiration on it and making the A that you are saying have effect. If you become so proud, you can say A to Z, you have no effect. So let's humble ourselves. So. And it came to pass, when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Usha, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and ate upon his head. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me, this man. He said, but if thou return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. This man called Hushai, or whatever you want to call him, is another counselor. So don't be with me. You must go and be a spy. Because Ahithophel must counsel. Oh my, he knows David really well. He knows what to do to kill that man. Why kill David? What has he done? What has he done? We're going to see. 2 Samuel 16. Verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Both with David and with Absalom. So he was counseling Absalom after David fled. This is what to do. This is what to do. It was the person that told David, that told Absalom to go and sleep with the entire wife of David on the rooftop. Because Ahithophel, he knows what it is. He knows the pain. I'm going to show you by the scripture. He knows the pain that is incurred in sleeping with someone's wife. Don't miss it, please. So it's a cancer. Though we know God has prophesied because of what the evil David did some time ago, that is going to happen, but it was Ahithophel that brought it to light by his counsel. You don't know the Bible says the son of man is written the way it shall go, but woe unto the man. So the scripture you are fulfilling is what matters. It must be something like that must happen, but must you be the one to play that part? Amen and amen. 16 from verse 15. And Absalom. From verse 20. Let's cut some of them off. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you that we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubine, which he had left to keep the house. Because when David was running away, he said they should keep some of those women and the rest, there. You see. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. How can defiling your father's wife make your kingdom strong? You have uncovered your father's nakedness. Amen. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubine in the sight of all Israel. You see that abomination? It was Ahithophel that canceled. He knows what to do to vex David. He knows what to do that will pain David so much. That is why David told this man called Hushai or something that don't be with me, you go. I want you to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Because he's taking his time, he's giving the counsel one by one. He's going somewhere. He will do it, that will give David a terrible heartbreak. You want to weaken him wherever he is. So that when they come upon them, they can kill them easily. But what has David done? Amen. What is the matter, Ahithophel? You are taking this thing too far, Ahithophel. What has he done? Even if he has done anything, you are taking it too far, Ahithophel. You must walk with him. What happened, Ahithophel? Even if he offended you, you can forgive Ahithophel. But not with Ahithophel. Ahithophel must take revenge. And revenge will only end up consuming you. Alright. Are we enjoying the Lord? Why should Ahithophel give this wicked counsel? A man that that was once the oracle of God has become oracle of Satan. Because this cancer are no more the a cancer of God. They have become an evil cancer. So an oracle of God has become oracle of Satan. Why? By the camp he joined himself to. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want to read to you the reason and the evil and the grudge that Ahithophel kept in his heart for generations. Yet, walking with David. May God save us from people that will walk with you and you don't know they are keeping something, waiting for the time to use it. So Ahithophel has been holding this thing in his heart. So the day Absalom, the son, overthrew his father. Oh, it was an opportunity to what? Seek revenge. You can forgive brothers. You can forgive sisters. Don't keep grudge for too long. It will poison you. It will kill you until you even poison your children because of grudge. Hatred, malice. Why? Ahithophel, you are going too far with this, Ahithophel. Hallelujah. Why should you do that? Oh my, I'm searching for a place where they were to go for a battle. I don't want to jump over that. I have two or three more scriptures to read and we'll close. Okay. 2 Samuel 17, 1. So after he canceled to sleep with the damsels, with the concubines, then he know he must have weakened him wherever he is. Then he gave another cancer. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. But Ahithophel, you are not a warrior, you are not a fighter. Suddenly, you want to carry spear and knife, you want to kill David yourself. And I will come upon him while he's weary and weak-handed. And we make him afraid. God is close to him. He knows what to do. I will threaten him. I will make him what? Afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only. Something is wrong somewhere. What? Ahithophel, what do you have to do with? What has David done? Only David you want to kill? You alone with sword? You have never fought before in your life. You have always been a counselor. So how come you want to do this fighting yourself and you want to kill yourself? Why? Ahithophel. And Ahithophel has a re-image. Because Ahithophel we are talking about is the shadow. The re-image is here. When I say it's here in this generation. They are in churches. The pastor is preaching, they are just waiting for the day one simple mistake will happen. When they nail you, you say, brother so and so. Say, no, brother. No. I say, I'm so disappointed. Brother, disappoint. You say, I've known you for years, brother. You have been carrying a grudge that you know nothing about. Woo! Are you too fair? We will not have time to dig into it, but we'll just drop some. The spirit is very terrible. I will go, I will make him afraid, and I will kill him myself. And you see, I will make everybody run away, and I will kill him. Only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. But why all this cancer? And why all these things that looks like revenge? 2 Samuel chapter 11. Are you there, church? From verse 1. And it came to pass
Don't miss this now. After the year was expired, at the time where kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And I believe you know who that woman was. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, when David sent to inquire of the woman to bring her, as if you are bringing the woman, somebody said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam? Who is Eliam? The daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So Bathsheba is the daughter of who? Eliam. The wife of Uriah. In other words, Eliam is the father-in-law to who? Uriah. But who is Eliam? And you know, it is this woman David made out with that cause that brought for Solomon. Is that right? So for David to have done this, he broke the home of Uriah. Broke that home. He took the wife and killed him. He killed the son-in-law of Eliam. He killed the daughter of Eliam. Who is Eliam? Second Samuel chapter 23, verse 34. Second Samuel chapter 23. Let's take 33. You know, this was, it was tracing genealogy. If you read it down, you see genealogy was tracing there. Shammah the Hararite. Ahiam the son of Shara the Hararite. 34. Eliphelet the son of Ashbel. The son of Machatite. Eliam the son of Ahitophel. The Gileonite. So who is Eliam to Ahitophel? His son. So the woman David slept with was Ahitophel's granddaughter. That is why his very first advice was to sleep with the entire wife. You see, that's why I told you it was a family grudge. I will never forgive him. This thing he did to my grand, I will never forgive him. Broke the home of my granddaughter, my son's daughter. That is the grandson-in-law's wife. Oh, if grandma has not failed me. Amen. The daughter of his son. David took the woman from the husband's house and still employed him as a counselor. The grudge was there. It was not forgiven for generations, generations to come. It was paining him. But you know one thing he refused to know? When David did that, the rebuke came and David repented. David repented, went down. Nathan came, rebuked him. This thing you have done is wrong, is an evil. He rebuked, he fed, he wept, he wept, he cried, he prayed. Hallelujah. God killed the child, brought mercy, and Solomon later came up. So God had already forgiven it. A sin that God had forgiven, man refused to forgive. Is it painful? Yes, sir. It was. It was so painful.
My brother, if you don't attend to it and you take revenge, it will lead to destruction. Somebody come to the church, come to your family and hurt you so hard. Is it painful? Yes, sir. My brother,
don't continue to carry grudge and bitterness in your heart. It will burn you to death.
Ahithophel was looking for the right time to vex his anger. David must have been thinking, what have I done to Ahithophel? It was a long time grudge.
Long time offense. He was also only respecting him because he was the king. He had no choice.
So when his own house broke, his own son overtook him, then Ahithophel pitched tent with his son. To vex anger, to vex revenge.
And the first thing he started with was Absalom sleep with all his wives.
Me no see the pain. Me no see the pain.
Hallelujah.
How many of us have carried this fire of unforgiveness in our heart? Unforgiveness. And that was why I was giving this counsel until he said he would go and meet David in the cave and kill him by himself. So, you took the wife, you slept with the woman, you also killed. So, we too, we will also do the same thing. Your son slept with all your wife, and we will also kill you. It's teeth for teeth, eye for eye.
That was what he wanted to do. But one thing he failed to know, that David was the Lord's anointed.
He made a mistake. He jumped above here, apologized to the entire nation. You see? Pray and say, God, forgive me. I have done this evil. Don't kill the people. Kill me. A man after God's heart.
A man after God's heart.
Are we supporting his evil? No, sir. He was rebuked. But he repented genuinely. And God forgave him genuinely.
But man held on to it. Family grudge. And that was why when he gave that final counsel.
Then, for the first time,
King Absalom saw Husha and said, oh, this is what Ahithophel can say. What do you can say?
For the first time,
nobody counsel against the counsel of Ahithophel. The Bible said because God wants to frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel.
He knows that David is in this place. He knows where David was. He said, David is in this cave. And we go there, bring him out, make him afraid, and kill him. And the other man, which I said, no. Absalom, you know your father. Your father is a warrior. He cannot be in that place at this time.
Ahithophel knew this man is lying. He knew.
He said, so, this is what we do. And he gave another counsel.
The Bible said, the people said, the counsel of Husha is better than the counsel of Ahithophel.
Ooh, oracle of God.
But it was no more the oracle of God. That was why his counsel was refused.
The reason why you are making effect is because you are still in the will of God. When you step out and God leads you, brother, you become light like water. Stay in the will of God all the time. Whether you have money or you don't have money, one thing sure, don't leave the will of God. They went for that battle.
That battle was so fierce. Absalom died in that battle.
And this man came and told David, this was what Ahithophel canceled, and this was what I canceled. And there, Absalom has taken my own word, canceled. So you people leave that place and go here and go there.
And what happened? Second, in closing. Oh man, in closing now. 2 Samuel 17. Verse 23.
And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass.
You know, I'm repeating it again. People that think they are always entitled.
it must be my own. Once theirs is not followed, man, no. Not only that, he knows that the cancel of this other man will definitely lead to the death of Absalom. This was a man that has worked with God. The Bible said he's called the oracle of God. He knows, see, the gift was still with him. God did not diminish it. He didn't remove it. He only frustrated it. Are you there? He knew exactly what will happen. One, and he knows that after this, if Absalom dies in this battle, he doesn't have faith in Israel anymore. So let me end it. Let me just end it. Saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hung himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. May we learn a lesson from this. God bless you. Amen. Meet again.
Let's talk to the Lord. Whichever way we feel that God has spoken to us, let's speak to God and ask for his help in this journey. we pray? Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you very much for bringing us to church today. We thank you for your blessings in the Sunday school. We thank you for your blessings in the morning / afternoon service. Thank you for your blessings this afternoon / evening service. Lord, we have sat, we have listened to your word that have come, Lord, in this dimension that you have brought it through your servant. We have learned so much, Lord, by listening to this word re-echoed unto us. We pray, dear Father, that your intention in bringing these things to our knowledge at this time may not be defeated in the life of anyone. We pray, dear Father, that we will not act the part of an evil character in the scriptures or in the ages that are before us. Lord, we have been told by your prophet that God takes his man, not his spirit. Satan also takes his man, not his spirit. When anyone goes, the spirit that is inside of them inhabits someone else. Dear Father, may we find grace in your sight to check the kind of spirit that is operating our hearts, checking them by the scriptures, checking them by the message. If we find any that is not what we desire or what your word expects of us, may we cry unto you, O Father. Just as we added in the morning, that Lord, because we have not reached the end of the road yet, you can still change situations. Just as you change it, O God, for Jabesh, Lord, as many as needed, O God, a touch, Lord, that needed their course, O God, to be changed, that needed you to carry out a spiritual operation in their heart, to cut out every god, every evil, all root of bitterness, Lord, generator of hatred, of malice, of murder, of whatsoever, unforgiving spirit. May you do it, Heavenly Father. We ask that your spirit will come and take its full abode in every heart, so that these wicked demons will not have a place to stay. Your prophet said the reason why the man of Oregon was not delivered was because he loved the spirit that he was having and he worshipped it. May we not worship evil spirit in our life. May we give room to your spirit to cleanse us, to purge us, to cut out every surplus flesh and anything contrary to you. May they all be flushed out of our system. Grant it, Heavenly Father. We are grateful, we are thankful to you. Lord, may none of us be a forgetful hearer of your word, but may we be hearer and doer of this. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your servant that you have used throughout the day, both in the Sunday school, in the morning service, and then this evening service. Lord, much virtue has left him. We pray you will replenish him. We pray you will recall him. We pray you will lift up the horn of his ministry. Lord, the assembly you have made him an overseer of, O God, grant his desires concerning them, their Father. As he preach your word unto them, may it take effect in the life of the people. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Lord, when they will be returning back tomorrow as a plan, we pray that your angel will go before them. Grant them your protection. Grant them journey mercies. Give them a happy reunion with the church and with their families. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, we will remember our pastor again, that you will be with him and be his strength and be his protection. Lord, any time we have opportunity to preach, make him a great channel of blessing again. Oh, Father, we pray that all the period we stay in U.S., make it a wonderful time. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Lord, your servant who has traveled to an Anambra state, when he'll be coming back, may you bring him safely. Lord, make the journey faster than the one while he was going, O Father. We also commit over your servant that went to Bakatarin to him, bring him back safely. The one that went to Abekuta, may also bring him back safely. This new week that we have just started, we have seen the glorious thing you have done in our midst today. Lord, the entire week may be full of your blessings. May be full of your favor. May be full of your provision. May we enjoy your protection. Help students, O God. Be with workers. Bless the business people, O God. Lord Jesus, we pray, O God, that this week you draw us closer unto yourself. In our personal meditation and studying of your word, may we be drawn closer unto you. In the services of the church and family altar, may your glory be in our life. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. We believe your word has healed the sick, both physically and spiritually. Lord, may those things be permanent in our life, Lord, to the glory of your name. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Everyone you have used one way or the other to make the services of today be a blessing, may you bless them in return, O God. Take us back home safely. May you watch over us, O God. By whichever means we are going, may your angel go before us, Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petition, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you richly. We thank the Lord for bringing us to church today to partake of the blessings that we have received. I want to thank Pastor Matthew for coming. The pastor normally says to our visiting ministers, especially when the person has brought the word of God. If he has brought his ideas, he will not add it to the message. But when someone has brought God's word, he normally tells them that our doors, you can see them that is opened. That's how they are opened. So anytime you, either you are passing by or you feel led to come and visit, very free every time. God richly bless you. Our greetings back to your family and the church also. God bless you, Brother Isaac, for coming with him and also for driving him down. May the Lord bless and reward you also. God bless you richly. Yeah, I spoke with the pastor this afternoon, and he sent greetings once again to the church. Today is the Thanksgiving service for the burial of the pastor's, the new pastor of CFT's father, who is a Ghanaian from Kumasi, and he was sick in Kumasi for some time before he went to U.S. and finally passed on in U.S. and is buried in U.S. God bless you. Yeah, the next service will be Wednesday by God's grace. We trust the Lord to bring all of us for the service and make it a blessing unto us. Shall we rise? Let's sing this as our closing hymn, 198, is coming soon. In these, the closing days of time, what joy that glorious hope affords, that soon, O wondrous truth sublime, he shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. In these, the closing days of time, oh, what joy, yeah, the glorious hope of us, that soon, oh, wondrous truth sublime,
Yes, he shall reign, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming soon, he's coming. He's coming soon, he's coming very soon. Oh, we joy, we welcome his return. It may be morning, it may be night or noon. We know. The signs are in Atan, in Atan, yeah, open, that on the talisman, who God's faithful witness he declared, oh, that the coming of the Savior draweth. Jesus is coming soon, he's come, he's coming soon, he's coming very soon. Oh, we joy, we welcome his return. On it may be morning, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming. The dead in Christ, the dead in Christ who need us now. Coming very soon, we judge, we welcome.